So I'm sharing a bit of what was shared at the retreat in Pennsylvania. I was just very blessed it ministered to me and was a message that was on my heart as I was thinking about what we were doing, and then the Lord brings it out through somebody else, and isn't he good to do that? You know, when he'll often bring something to us several times and we go, okay, you know. And so tonight, as we think about Christmas, and you see I have joy spread out here, why did he come? You know, we celebrate the baby in the manger this time of year. We celebrate his coming. We celebrate the fact that he didn't stay a baby, that he grew to be a man who was willing to give his life a ransom for us. So why did he come? And I think we'll start with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We are going to jump all over the place. I don't know if you want to follow, you know, try to flip through and find them if you just want to, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to start with Hebrews 12, 22. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he came to endure the cross. And it says, for the joy that was set before him. Not only did he come to die on the cross for us, he considered it joy. It was for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he came for the specific reason of going to the cross. And we're going to look at several different scriptures that confirm that and talk more about why he came. he took a plastic bag out of the bag. Oh, Bernie. Well, she's fetching the bag from Bernie. Why don't we look at, turn to Isaiah 53. It had cookies in it, I think. So he probably thought he was getting a cookie. Oh, dear.
You said Isaiah
53. Isaiah 53. We're going to look specifically at verses 3 through 5. Again, joy. Barney, you're bringing me joy tonight in worship and now. Yes, Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 5. Starting in verse 3. And just listen for some of the reasons why he came in these verses. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was buried for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So if you look through that, it says, first of all, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came to understand our sorrows and our grief, what we go through, so he could be acquainted with it. This is why I'm dying, okay? That's in verse 3. In verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So that just kind of confirms that. To bear and... That born our griefs means to bear our griefs. So he came to bear our grief, to carry our sorrows. And what did we do? We esteemed him stricken, right? In verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was willing to be wounded for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. So again, he took our punishment on him, being bruised, being wounded, and being chastised for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So he came to take all of that on him. The reason he came was to bear our griefs, our grief. If we turn over into the New Testament to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, or made known, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So he came, or was brought to light, to destroy the works of the enemy. So that is another reason why he came. If we go up just a couple verses to verse 5, and you know that he was manifest, or brought to light, to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So another reason he came was to take our sin away. And he, of course, he did that with the finished work of the cross. If you flip over a chapter to chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested, or brought to light towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He came to give us life. And continuing in verse 10, in this love, or in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So he came to be the substitute for us. So he came to bear our griefs, to take our punishment. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to take our sins away. He came to give us life. And he came to be our substitute. If we go over a few books to 1 Peter, chapter 2, or sorry, back a few chapters to 1 Peter, chapter 2, down to verse 21. Says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, so he came to suffer for us, leaving us an example. He came to give us an example that we should follow. This is how you live, that we should follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So again, in those few verses, the reason he came, to suffer for us, to give us an example. How do we respond when people treat us wrongly? You know, how did Jesus respond? He didn't lash back at them, but he's patient. He endured, right? And continued in the Father's purpose for him, and allowed God to be judge, right, over it. We talked, I think it was last time when we looked at Abigail, that we saw two opposites, right? We saw her husband, Nabal, respond in a horrible way, and David almost respond harshly to him, but we saw Abigail just be willing to take that punishment on herself and come in between. And we were reminded through that example that God, let God do the work. You know, vengeance is His, and He's going to judge righteously. And it says it in these verses. So, if we can go over to John, the regular John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. So we have an enemy who wants to destroy. But I have come that they may have life. So He's come to give us life. But look at the life He's come to give us. And that they may have it more abundantly. He's come to give us abundant life. Not to just squeak by, right? Not just to get our foot in the door, but to have abundant life in Him. And how do we do that? As we just read in 1 Peter, by following His example, living like He lived, walking the way He walked. So He came to give us that life and give it more abundantly. If we go over to Matthew chapter 1, another reason He came, and we've already touched on this, but down in verse 18, this is, you know, talking about the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example of her, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So why did he come? To save people from their sins. Without him, there is no hope of our sins being dealt with. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13.
Romans what?
10:13. So it says, this is our response to His coming. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we respond to this one who came to take away our sins, to be our substitute, to bear our griefs? We call on His name, and what is He going to do? The reason He came? To save us. whoever calls on His name shall be saved. And, you know, and that's, I believe, how we need to be praying for people who we know who need a Savior. Lord, help them to call on Your name, because that's what they need to do. How shall they call on Him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, or of great joy. So we part of our responsibility in response to this one who came to be Savior of the world is to tell others about him. You know, we've received the good news, but there's many who haven't. And so how are they going to know if there isn't somebody to tell them? So we need to tell them. We know the one, and this is why he came. It's not a difficult message. You know, he came to bear the sins of the world, and he did that on the cross. We celebrate this baby. This is one time of the year where people are willing to listen. You know, even you go in the stores and, you know, they'll ask the kids, oh, so what are you asking Santa for? Oh, we don't celebrate Santa, but we have a birthday party for Jesus. So you do. And nobody looks at us like we're crazy. Nobody, you know, and they'll let you share that. You know, and there's all the hoopla of should we say happy holidays, oh, season's Merry greetings, Christmas, whatever, yeah. Merry Christmas. And, you know, for a while, store clerks were told you can't wish anybody Merry Christmas. But I'll tell you, I've been in a lot of stores lately, mm-hmm. and every single cashier has wished me Merry Christmas. And it's not because I initiated it, because they're making that choice. And I believe that people know that we are celebrating. Mm-hmm. You know, how many houses do you go to that, whether they're saved or not, there's a nativity in their home, and it's usually one that's been passed down from generation to generation. And so that baby is in their house, but they may not know that that baby grew to be a man,
right.
To save them, to die on a cross, to take away their sins, and that he had victory over death in the grave because he rose from the dead, and that there's power in him. To save them from their sins, and that his blood washes them clean and white. And so in this verse, how will they know if they haven't heard? So it's a simple message. You know, we just need to be willing to send it, and we can send it in our Christmas cards. We can, you know, we don't even have to say it face to face, but it's good to say it face to face. But you can send that message in a Christmas card, a simple verse, you know, Jesus died for you. Something, you know, your signature, instead of saying sincerely or whatever, sign it, Jesus loves you, or in Jesus' name, or, you know, so that, wow, you know, or praying for you, or something like that, you know, just so they hear the name of Jesus, because he came. He came to be their Savior as well. That's why he came, and we do celebrate him this time of year, and we should let people know, because he came to give life and to give life abundantly. So I know that's a short message. I told you it would be short tonight, but it really spoke to my heart. It's a powerful message, you know, and you could probably go on and on and on if you went through the scriptures and you searched out he was manifested, or he came, mm-hmm. or things like that. Scripture after scripture are going to come up with that, well beyond this short list that we looked at. So it's just a quick little reminder of the reason for the season, yeah. as everybody likes to say right now. Yeah.
I used to have cards like that when I was sending out cards. Short and simple. Mm-hmm.
And then as we look at, I know I asked you all to bring a gift this evening in the form of a pair of socks. And I know we read one of these verses that said this, but it goes along with Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, how beautiful upon the mountain or on the hills are the feet of him who brings good news. And that's what we're to do. We're to bring good news wherever we go, wherever our feet take us, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who brings great joy to people. What greater joy is there than to have your salvation and to be assured of it? You know, you can talk to many people and say, think you're going to go to heaven? What's their answer? I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe. if I'm good enough, we'll see. Right. No, I'm not going to go there. You know, people tend to have assurance that they're not going. What greater joy is there when we have true assurance that we are? So how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So let's remind people that God reigns and bring them glad tidings of great joy this season. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that you did come, Lord, and we thank you for this reminder in Scripture, throughout Scripture, of the reason you came, that you were willing to come and take our punishment, to take our grief, our sorrows upon yourself, Lord, that you were our substitute when it should have been us, Lord, that, as you called it, joy that was set before you, you were willing to endure the cross. And we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for taking the stripes that we deserved, for being bruised for us, Lord. Thank you that you were willing to set aside glory for us, Lord, to come in the humble way that you came as the baby in the manger. And we know that that was probably a rock in a cave, cold and dark and smelly with animals and all of that, not as a king, as the King of Kings deserved to come, Lord, but you were willing to do that for each one of us, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you that in you is life, Lord, and that it's abundant life, and that we can be assured of that, Lord. And we pray that you would just help us to be bold this season, Lord, in sharing wherever our feet take us, Lord, that we would proclaim you, that our God reigns. We praise you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.